going to be continuing on in our study of the book of James, looking at verses 19 and 20 in particular. James chapter 1, beginning in 19, says, My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. So I want to look at these verses and consider them and make some application of them. For those of you who are familiar with Stephen Covey's work, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he has one of his seven habits in there, is to seek first to understand, then to be understood. And that idea of understanding, it should be the same as listening. What good is listening to what someone's saying if you're not trying to understand what is being said? You're no more than just standing there. Incidentally, Stephen Covey recently passed away. And it's just kind of sad to me because the man was, of course, I didn't know him personally, but the man was so close to the Word of God but missed its point, you know, in his personal salvation. I mean, to come up with things like some of the tenets he came up with, they were clearly coming from the Scriptures. And in fact, he pointed that out many times in his works. But the idea of quick to listen, slow to speak. Have you ever been in a conversation with a person? And conversation might not be the correct way to define it. Have you ever been in a talking turn-based type thing where you can tell the person is just waiting for you to shut your mouth so that they can make their point? I know we've all been through that. I have done it to people. You've done it to people probably. And you're just waiting for them to get done so you can say whatever it is that you're going to say. You can tell your story. You can make your point. And that directly flies in the face of this passage. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. The next thing, slow to wrath. You know, this one I want to spend the bulk of our time looking into. Hold on a second. There's a spider web. Y'all couldn't see it. But okay. This one's going to take a little bit more time to look into to be able to better understand it. There are two main Greek words that are often translated wrath. The first one that I want to talk about is what's keyed in Strong's Concordance as the Greek word 2372, thumos. It's used 18 times in the New Testament. 15 of those times it's translated wrath, twice it's translated fierceness, and once indignation. Let's look at some of these uses so that we can see what this word thumos means. Luke 4, verse 28. Luke 4, verse 28. Luke 4, verse 28. And when they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was enraged, or filled with wrath, is a different translation. But that word enraged is one of the uses of it. And uses like this where people are filled with wrath or filled with indignation or fierceness is used 11 times. And earlier when I said that it's translated wrath 15 times, fierceness twice, indignation once, that's the King James Version or the Authorized Version, depending on what book you're looking at that talks about this word. So here we see that it's translated in the Holman as enraged. Acts 19, verse 28. Let's look at another one there. Acts 19, verse 28. And when they heard this, they were filled with rage and began to cry out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And here talking about, this is where, I believe this is where the coppersmiths pulled everybody together and were worried about their, or the silversmiths were pulled everybody together and was worried about their livelihood. And they were all chanting because they had heard something that they did not like. And so they were filled with rage, or they were filled with wrath. And so they acted on that and started chanting out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. It says, "For I fear that perhaps when I come I will not find you to be what I want, and I might not be found by you to be what you want. There may be quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder." Here talking about the Corinthians as we're studying in our Wednesday night class in the adult class about the Corinthians, and he's worried about what he's going to find when he comes to visit the Corinthians. And one of the things is he's worried about outburst of anger or outburst of wrath, is another way to say it. He's worried about that he will find there. And from context, you can tell that this is clearly not something he wants to find. He would not like to find outburst of wrath when he comes to visit. And there are many other verses. As I said, there were 11 uses of this word when there were unrighteous outbursts, things that were done that were not pertaining to righteousness. Now, there were, this word, thumos, is used 7 times, entirely found in the book of Revelation, to refer to the wrath of God. And I just picked out 3 that were close together so that we can read them to understand this use of the word. Revelation 14, starting in verse 19. I'll read 19, that is. "So the angel swung a sickle toward the earth and gathered the grapes from the earth's vineyard, and he threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath." 15, verse 1. "Then I saw another great, awe-inspiring sign in the heaven, 7 angels with the seven last plagues, for with them God's wrath will be completed." And then verse 7 says, "One of the 4 living creatures gave the 7 angels 7 bowls filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever." And each one of the 7 uses of this word thumos in the book of Revelation that is of this righteous wrath is translated God's wrath or the wrath of God. There's other uses of it in the book of Revelation, 3 more, but they're once again talking about the unrighteous wrath of man. Let's look also at another of the main words that is translated wrath in your New Testament. It is the Strong's Concordance number G3709, which is orge. It's used 36 times in the New Testament. Again, in the King James Version, it's translated wrath 31 times, anger 3 times, vengeance once, and indignation once. Again, from the King James Version. So let's look at how this word, orge, is used in the New Testament and see if we can't learn something about its meaning. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. says, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to the place of his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? So here we can see the coming wrath being some sort of a punishment. And from context, I think we can see that is a punishment coming from God. Also, John 3, verse 36. Similar passage, or similar use of the word. John 3, verse 36. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. Now, when you read this, it's very much not apparent whether this is the word orge or thumos. And I don't know that in context it really makes a big difference. Because you can see that this is a righteous wrath, a wrath that is caused by not following the Word of God. Romans 1:18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Says, for God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So that passage, very good. What do you do to get God's wrath upon you? You suppress righteousness. You are godless in your life, and you are unrighteous yourself. That is how you bring about God's wrath on you. But again, looking at the use of this word, orge, here again, relating back to God's wrath or God's anger, is when it is not, you are not following His will. Another passage in Romans 3, verse 5. 3, verse 5. But if our unrighteousness highlights God's righteousness, what are we to say? I use a human argument. Is God unrighteous to inflict wrath? Here again, kind of looking at God's wrath and His punishment. Would God be unrighteous so that He could deal out wrath? It's kind of a circular argument. The answer is absolutely not, which is exactly what my passage says. The Holman says in 3 verse 6, absolutely not. God's wrath is pure. Romans 13, verse 4. Romans 13, verse 4. For government is God's servant to you for good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, because it does not carry the sword for no reason. For government is God's servant, an avenger that brings wrath on the one who does wrong. So here again, bringing wrath. God's servant, here talking about the government, is going to bring God's wrath upon the people in punishment. Revelation 19, verse 15. Revelation 19, verse 15. Here it says, "For his mouth, from his mouth came a sharp sword, so that with it he might strike the nations. He will shepherd them with an iron scepter. He will also trample the winepress of the fierce anger of God the Almighty." Here, something interesting from the Greek. Fierce anger. In the Greek, that is thumos orge. Both words are used there. Both words that we use for wrath are used in the same one. And it is translated fierce. Thumos is translated fierce in this passage. From what I can tell, most translations translated that word fierce or fierceness. And then that second word, anger, is the word that we are looking at now, which is orge. Let's look at so those passages that I just read there are talking about God's righteous punishment, and He has punishment for those whom He has wrath against. And we read about what brings wrath on them is unrighteousness, not following His will. So if you want God's wrath, His righteous punishment, then you should be unrighteous. Let's look at Hebrews 3, verse 11. This passage offers a little bit about a little bit more insight into what brings about God's wrath. Hebrews 3:11. And here, this is a quote of an Old Testament passage. Give me a second, I'll tell you what it is. I've lost what the Old Testament passage is. But he's talking here about the Israelites as they rebelled against him, as they were going to the land of promise, and how they had hardened their heart and they were in rebellion to him. And in verse 11, it says, "So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest." He swore in his anger. I get the impression from this that this was something that he did on the moment, right when they rebelled against him. "They will not enter my rest." And we saw that they did not enter the rest. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years till all those who were 18 and older died in the wilderness. They wandered around. And here again, that word anger, as my translation, the Holman says, "I swore in my anger." Many of yours will say, "I swore in my wrath." And I get the impression from this that this was a righteous but impulse punishment. This was something that was decided on the spot, something that didn't really well up. It was decided right then and there when the occurrence happened. Let's look also at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Remember, the point of all this is we are trying to define what this word wrath means that we read about in James chapter 1, verse 19, where it says, "Be slow to wrath." What does this mean? What is this word wrath that we are looking at? Mark chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses for context. We'll start in verse 1 and read down to 5. "Now he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a paralyzed hand. In order to accuse him, they were watching him closely to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. He told the man with the paralyzed hand, 'Stand before us.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, or to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. After looking around at them with anger and sorrow at the hardness of their hearts, he told the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' So he stretched it out, and his hand was restored." And we can go on to read about how the Pharisees did exactly what Jesus thought they would do. They went out to try to plotting against him so that they could destroy him. But let's focus in on what Jesus did. He looked out at them with anger, or with wrath and sadness. He was both sad at their hardness of heart, and he was had righteous indignation toward them because of their state of mind, what they were thinking, what they were doing. He was not pleased, and it caused, again, righteous wrath. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words has a footnote about the word anger in it, and I'll read that. It says, "Thumos, wrath, not translated anger, is to be distinguished from orge in this respect, that thumos indicates a more agitated condition of feelings, an outburst of wrath from inward indignation, while orge suggests a more settled or abiding condition of mind, frequently with the view to take revenge. Orge is less sudden in its rise than thumos, but more lasting in its nature. Thumos expresses more the inward feeling, orge the more active emotion. Thumos may issue in revenge, though it does not necessarily include it. It is characteristic that it quickly blazes up and quickly subsides, though that is not necessarily applied in each case." So, basically it said, this is true, except for when it's not. But what it is saying here is that typically, thumos, when seen, is a near instantaneous. It happens right there in the moment, and that is when it is done. It started, and now it's over. Orge tends to be a little slower in nature. It develops, and it lasts. And it tends to be something that revenge is related to, so that revenge comes after orge, wrath is experienced. There's a few more passages, you know, that I'd like to look at, because, you know, why did we spend so much time looking at this? Let's be slow to wrath. Why did we spend so much time on it? Because there's a couple more passages that we need to consider from the Bible. One is Ephesians 4, verse 26. Ephesians 4, verse 26. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Here, this passage actually uses two words that we have not looked at yet. The first anger is a word called orgizo, and it is the verb tense of anger. And the second one, do not let the sun go down on your anger or on your wrath, is the only occurrence of the word parorgismos. Totally wrong there. But the Greek word keyed from Strong's concordance is 3950. It is the only place that that word is used in the entire New Testament. Well, Old Testament as well. I'll read what Vines comments on it. It says, it is a strengthened form of orge and used in Ephesians 4:26, and it relates to a provocation, and it points especially to that which provokes the wrath and suggests a less continued state than what we just discussed in orge. The first keenness and the sense of provocation must not be cherished, though righteous resentment may remain. The preceding verb, orgizo, in this verse implies a just occasion for the feeling. So if we look back at the verse, what it is saying, Ephesians 4:26, is that there was an occasion for this anger. It says, be angry, you know, acting like, hey, this is okay, but do not sin. So be angry, but do not sin, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So I want you to keep that in mind. And then the next passage, just a few verses down, Ephesians 4, verse 31. Ephesians 4, verse 31 says, all bitterness, anger, and wrath, which is thumos and orge, insult and slander, must be removed from you, along with all wickedness. Then the very similar passage, Colossians 3, verse 8, says almost exactly the same thing. Put away thumos and orge, wrath and anger, however you want to translate them into English. Put those away from you, all of it. So how do we justify these various passages? It says, be slow to anger. Verse 26 says, be angry, but do not sin. And then verse 31 of chapter 4 of Ephesians and Colossians 3:8 says, put away all wrath, all of it. It's all gone. So how do we justify that? Especially when we consider that God Himself and Jesus got angry. So let's look at God first. God's anger is always a just reaction to evil. We looked at Romans 1, verse 18. Romans 1, 18, where it talks about what makes God wrathful. And really, that context continues all the way to chapter 2, verse 11. I'll read that one. Romans 2, verse 11, where it says, there is no favoritism with God. just pointing out, God is a just God. He gets wrathful, but He doesn't just dole it out on the people He doesn't like how they look or they got a job that He thought was dumb. No, He doles it out equally to those, from verse 18, who suppress the truth. God is divine and He is all-knowing, and His wrath is never misguided. Therefore, He is capable of properly directing His anger and wrath. Man, with his imperfections, he is not quite as capable. His anger is often misguided. It could be caused because of ignorance, misunderstanding, tinted glasses, you know, rose-tinted glasses. Various things can cause man's anger to be completely misguided. I mean, haven't you ever been angry about something and then later regretted it because you realized that you were the one in error? You were the one who misunderstood something? You were the one who didn't realize that something had been done? You know, I had a boss one time, and he was a good man, a good boss, I guess I should say. But quick to anger was how he read this passage, slow to listen and quick to speak. And the one time, something had happened where I canceled an overtime because I was not getting the support I needed, but he had told me, you have this overtime. And he, you know, at the end of the day, I always go check in with the boss, and I was coming in to tell him why I'd canceled the overtime. When I got in there, the vein on his forehead was subsiding, luckily for me, because somebody had said, you don't have all the information. Here is why Brian did this. And then my boss explained to me how I owed this man a dinner because he had saved my life. But, you know, just the thought of quick to anger, and he was wrong in this situation. He didn't have all the information before he jumped to that level of anger. Now, if I had come in his office and I had said, you know, I canceled that overtime because, you know, there's a TV show on that I wanted to watch tonight, so I canceled it. You know, that vein should show up and I should be sent out the door packing if that were the case. But that wasn't the case. So, slow to anger is what it says. And man is imperfect. He is not as capable as God. Just because God may display wrath, this does not necessarily justify man doing so. Christ also had anger. One passage that is often pointed out about man's Christ's anger, though the word thumos or orge or a verb form of it is not present, it's pretty clear that Jesus was angry when He went and cleansed the temple. A reading of that is in Matthew 21, 12 through 13. But when Jesus went in and cleansed the temple, He clearly had that righteous wrath, that indignation, because they had made His house a den of thieves, His Father's house a den of thieves. So we know that Jesus had this same wrath. In fact, we read a passage earlier about how He had wrath when He looked at the Sadducees, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and how they were trying to condemn Him. But Jesus, one thing that can be said is everything that's true of God is also true of Jesus. We also know specific things about Jesus while He was on this earth. John chapter 24. John chapter 24, it's kind of, I'm sorry, John chapter 2, verse 24. John chapter 2, verse 24, and it's kind of jumping right into a thought here, but for sake of time, I'll go ahead and do that. It says, Jesus, however, would not entrust Himself to them, since He knew them all, and because He did not need anyone to testify about man, for He Himself knew what was in man. Jesus had the ability to read the hearts of man and read them perfectly. And with such a divine knowledge, He could not mistakenly direct His wrath and anger. Also, in the examples of His anger, there was nothing of self-interest, only holy anger against unrighteousness, which is abhorrent to God. He was angry, but only for God's honor. When He was personally abused, He said nothing. 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21 through 23. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. For you were called to this, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in His steps. He did not commit sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. When reviled, He did not revile in return. When suffering, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to the One who judges justly. But when the reviling was against God, He displayed righteous anger. Again, man with his imperfections often uses anger improperly. For example, we are silent when sin is exalted and God is dishonored. But we get angry when somebody personally offends us. When they come and slight us, when they give us the wrong change at the cash register, when we don't feel like we got everything that we paid for out of a contractor, we get angry. I don't see that fitting in to what we have been talking about so far with these righteous uses of the word thumos and orge. You know, too often we're looking at self-righteous indignation rather than righteous indignation. So, how do we justify these passages? Let's look at Ephesians 4:26. Whatever interpretation we come up with, it needs to be in harmony with the context, especially with what Paul writes just a few verses later in verse 31, where he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." I understand this passage, rather than justifying anger, to be directing us how to deal with it when it arises in our hearts. What's it say in verse 26? It says, first, do not sin. It says, be angry and do not sin. The emotion must be controlled. Don't allow it to manifest in a sinful way, such as doing something or saying something that is wrong. Then the verse ends off with, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Remember, we talked about that word orge, and in this passage it's a stronger form of that word orge. And it was a long-lasting anger, one that often ended in revenge. Well, what is he saying here? Be angry, do not sin, and get rid of that anger before the sun goes down. So we are to control our emotions and get rid of that anger before night falls. And hopefully you're still there in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, the next verse, gives you insight into why. We are to get rid of that anger. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give the devil an opportunity. If we let that anger